protection of civilians remains a key concern. Violations of international humanitarian law and human rights violations and abuses continue to be perpetrated by both the SPLA and the SPLMA in opposition. I remind all parties that they must take constant care to spare civilians and the infrastructure civilians rely on. The suffering is also both a cause and a consequence of the economic situation, which continues to deteriorate, as Jean-Pierre has said. Many government workers have not been paid in months. The brutal reality of the economic situation puts food out of reach for many people. It reduces the provision of even the most basic services, such as health and education, and it increases criminality, especially in urban areas. Civilian safety is at risk, and humanitarian organizations face an increasing number of armed robberies and looting of convoys. Just last week in Jonglei, around 2.3 metric tons of food was looted from a humanitarian warehouse. Such actions are perpetrated both by parties to the conflict and by criminal groups for economic benefit. Aid workers are paying with their lives to deliver assistance. At least 95 humanitarian workers have been killed in the line of duty since the start of the conflict, at least 28 of them this year alone. More than 90% of those people are national staff who form the backbone of the humanitarian response. Jean-Pierre mentioned the recent horrific attack in Jonglei. That's just one example of the violence aid workers face, and five aid workers were killed in that attack. Mr. President, allowing and facilitating rapid and unimpeded humanitarian access for civilians in need is an obligation for all parties and essential for humanitarian relief organisations to effectively save lives. The parties regularly and flagrantly ignore these obligations. There are areas of the country where humanitarians have been unable to deliver assistance and programmes for extended periods. That compounds the already dire food security and nutrition situations. One example is in the opposition-held territory of Greater Bagari near Wau, which is classified in the emergency phase of food insecurity, so again, just a step away from famine, and where agencies have been able to deliver aid only sporadically due to access denials and SPLA roadblocks. The situation will get even worse without an improvement in access. In recent weeks, the government, as well as opposition forces and non-state armed actors, have continued to interfere with the delivery of humanitarian assistance to people in need. Government security forces have denied humanitarian access in Liwolo in Kajukeji County. Non-state armed actors continue to deny access in areas outside Ye and Mundri towns. And opposition forces have denied access in Torek County's Gunyoro town. Access blockage to a waste disposal site in Bentiu also continues, despite assurances from the governor that humanitarian agencies would be provided unhindered access to the site. Ongoing fighting also prevents us from delivering aid, including clashes between SPLA and SPLA in opposition in Ye and surrounding counties. In 2017, more than 500 humanitarian workers across the country have been relocated for extended periods of time due to conflict and insecurity. Humanitarian organisations do not relocate staff lightly. The objective is always to stay and deliver. So when we do have to relocate, the situation must be very extreme. In early November, President Kiir released a Republican order for the free, unimpeded and unhindered movement of humanitarian assistance convoys. I take note of this order, which enshrines existing international obligations. I urge for it to be translated into concrete actions and instructions at all levels to remove roadblocks and bureaucratic and other types of impediments, and for it to be realised in practice on the ground, because, as I've said, that's not happening now. Thirdly, Mr. President, despite these challenges, and as Jean-Pierre has said, the UN and its humanitarian partners have reached 5 million people with essential assistance this year, and the aim next year is to reach more. About 4 million people have received food assistance and emergency livelihood support this year. Nearly 730,000 children and pregnant and breastfeeding women have benefited from emergency nutritional assistance. More than 2.1 million have gained access to clean water. Nearly 780,000 have been assisted with vital non-food items, including blankets and mosquito nets. More than 350,000 children have got a chance to go to school, and nearly 400,000 people have received gender-based violence services. To ease the Aden corridor opened from Sudan last month. Mr. President, the fact remains that until international humanitarian law is complied with, until the fighting ends, and until basic services are established, the humanitarian situation will remain dire. This year, the United Nations and its humanitarian partners have halted famine, but that took enormous resources and involved substantial risk to staff, some of whom, as I've said, have lost their lives in the endeavour. We must avoid a recurrence of famine next year. UNMISS has played and will continue to play an important role in protecting civilians and creating the conditions conducive for the delivery of humanitarian assistance. But their efforts cannot replace or in any way substitute for the responsibilities of the host government. Fourth, and to conclude, Mr. President, I call upon the Council members, firstly, to use their influence to ensure that the parties comply with their obligations under IHL to respect and protect civilians, including humanitarian workers, and secondly, to ensure that the parties allow and facilitate humanitarian relief operations and people's access to assistance and protection. Thank you.